Yeah, it was the thing that I was trying to understand. It's running. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Nice. So, browsing Git repositories with GotWebD. I am Omar Polo. I did the huge mistake of installing OpenBSD back in 2018, and well, here we are. Life is strange sometimes. I became a developer a few years later, and then I got involved in the Game of Trees project. That's why I'm here. What is the Game of Trees project? Anyone used, got, ever heard of it? Oh, thank you. It's nice to see some hands. It's a distributed version control system. It was started by Stefan Sperling in 2017, and it's compatible with Git, so both in the networking code and in the actual repository on disk. But it's not a bug-for-bug re-implementation, so we're not just trying to do a clone of it. It's a different version control system that is compatible. And, of course, comes from OpenBSD, so it's designed with privilege separation in mind. What is inside of it? Very quickly, we have, of course, the command line, got. We have a few other helpers in it, like godadmin, which is, so unlike Git, we split the things, so a few of the subcommands. Well, if you use SVN, you probably hear something similar with SVN and SVN admin. God is a command line tool for committing and running diff and blame and all the other operation. Godadmin is for managing the Git repositories on disk. We have a nice and curious interface, which is TOG. We have our own Git repository server with anon SSH support even. I mean, it's worse on via SSH, but it supports that as well. We have a fairly new thing, which is GotSysD, but Stefan did a talk, I think, 2 years ago in here. Terraforming is probably not as described on the man page, but gives the idea. And we have today main character, which is GotWebD. GotWebD is a web interface for browsing a set of repositories, looking at the commit log, at the blame, at the diff. So, I mean, if you ever used a forge, you kind of know what it means to browse a Git repository on a web UI. And what I would like to try to do today is do a little bit of a history thing. So instead of just presenting what it is, I would like to start with the history, how it got merged inside our tree, and well, how it evolved until today. So at first we had GotWeb. Notice that there is no D at the end because it was a CGI script written by Tracy Emery back in 2020. And then sometime later, he started working on the daemon version, so GotWebD, in 2022. Some notes on when the things were available initially. At some point, we removed GotWeb, the CGI one, just to keep GotWebD. Since then, a few things happened. Some code changed. And let's start with the beginning, though. So in the beginning, GotWebD was the kind of usual OpenBSD daemon. So, I mean, you usually start by transmogrifying all the daemons and then you rip out the logic and you make your own. But it was very simple. It had just a parent process and it split N. It was called sockets back in the day, and then it got renamed to server because it made much more sense to handle the request. So you read the FastCGI because it's based on FastCGI, so it runs behind HTTPD. And it parses the request and generates the view, like nothing incredibly fancy. But first of all, a parenthesis on the libexec, because this is something that I think is quite interesting. It's not directly tied to how GotWebD works and how the web application is, but is a nice, I think, design from the Game of Three project. So I talked about privilege separation before, and this is a way to achieve it. So basically, we have our own internal library to handle all the, I mean, to interact with the Git repository, because I don't know, we have API, internal APIs to make commits, to run rebase, to blame files, to interact with the diffs and whatnot. And all the parts in our library that are touching the files on disk or are talking with external servers are properly sandboxed on OpenBSD. So each one of them, I have some example. I got read blob, got read commit, got read objects. Those are standalone programs, which are not available in the path. They are installed under libexec, of course. And they are running a very, very strict pledge. I'm assuming you have a fairly quick idea of, rough idea, sorry, of what pledge is. I think it's a mechanism from OpenBSD to sandbox the programs. So basically, pledge stdio recfd means that these programs that have that pledge at the start of main can only talk over file descriptors that are already open, so standard input, standard output, that is, standard error, and can receive file descriptor. And so it means that all the parsing code from object that you fetch from the internet, from whoever server, for whatever, they are parsed in a very strict and sanitized environment where, I mean, it's one of the steps to improve the overall security. You start to make boundaries at different levels. So we have this libexec, they are parsing the data, and then they give back the parsed data to the main process. Yeah, this is what I already said. The whole I start to talk about different processes initially, and I should have made a note that we're using IMSG, which is I think it originated in BGPD, I think, if I remember correctly, which is a simple, more or less, way of doing internal process communication with some bells and whistles across different processes. And that's how, for instance, the libexec processes are talk with the main process using this. So a bit of a devolution after that. So the first version, it was like a very, very simple. It was basically a CGI script, just transformed enough that it could handle more than one request and speak some fast CGI so that it works. One of the first things that we did was to implement a small templating system, mostly because printf variation is not a very good way of building web views, basically. If you ever try, it doesn't go fast. It doesn't go on a lot due to all the possible way you have to inject things inside the HTML and whatnot. Back at the time, I was just playing with the idea of writing a very simple template engine, and well, Tracy liked it enough, Stefan liked it enough, and so we got into the tree. But just showing a stupid example that I copy-pasted from one of the functions that we use to render things is a fairly straightforward, slightly inspired by Go templates, but it's fairly small. One interesting thing of the template library that we're using is that it's completely at compile time. So you write these fragments in this, they get compiled back to C code, and then you don't have things at runtime, like parsing the templates at runtime and trying to insert things at runtime. The big split. This was the first big split that we had. So we started again with a very simple interface, internal interface, main process and a few copy of the same process handling the request. And we started to rethink the internal interface of it and try to improve the preceptness, I hope it's a word, of it, to sandbox better the various parts of this web application, because at the end of the day, you're running a piece of software that is talking all the day, 24/7, to strangers on the internet, and anything can happen. So we wanted to really try to have as many boundaries and try to take to reduce the number of pledges, or reduces the number of capabilities that the various parts needed, down to hopefully the smallest possible set. And this was the first split that we did. So we had the process that was listening on the FastCGI socket, parsing the FastCGI protocol, having some kind of internal logic, like to dispatch, you ask it for this page and doing some dispatching on the right page, and then producing the output code. That is the output page of the HTML code. So that is more or less the pipeline inside. Oops. This should not have happened. And the first split was to try to get the fast GGI parsing code away from the rest. So we did this split. So we had the first, now the server process is just was just handling the fast GGI, parsing it. And the actual process handling of the request of the HTML generation was split in another process. This was for also to work around of a small limitation that we had, because by default we were ch routing under var www. So that means that you should should have had enough free space in there to copy your Git repository so the thing could actually render them. And at this point we could lift the chroot limitation from the second case and still have all the handling of the untrusted clients that are connecting to you in a strict down process. It does very little code is running there, and have the actual code process handling in another process that is not chroot, so you can point at, I mean, you can have your Git repository in different place. Then continue on this kind of trying to reshape the interface to isolate the various parts and move them to dedicated processes to sandbox them better. We did another split recently for the introduction of the authentication feature. So on the side, first, another question. Who has ever heard of GitHub? Not GitHub, GitHub. Oh, nice. One other thing that we wanted to do for that was to allow, of course, authentication, because you're running you wanted to have your repository in there, but maybe some are private and not intended for other people to see them or whatnot. So we wanted to have an authentication mechanism working in. And what we realized in the end is a way to authenticate via SSH, which is a fairly interesting thing. I don't think that many people did that. It's quite cool, hackish at least, but cool. And also doubles as a bot protection. And if I have enough time, I would like to try to do, where is my mouse? Can I open Firefox in here? I wanted to do a very, very quick live demonstration of that. If it's working, okay, it's working. Whoop. So, but I don't know if I have internet working here.
I've seen that's very, very effective bot protection.
Sorry?
It's probably very effective against those scrapers. But
yeah, well, one of the reasons was that because, oh, it's working, yes. And I'm authenticated already. That's a bummer. So let's go here, for instance. So yes, so this is the main instance, let's say, of GotWebD. Of GotWebD we use to show to the people the thing, and it's by default blocked. And the thing interesting is that I was talking about authentication, but one of the things that is very nice about this is if you see one anonymous, it means that this actually, let's try it again. Whoop. Pa, pa, pa. Yeah. And boom, I'm authenticated and I can, browse this. I can, I don't know. Let's see our diff code, for instance. Pa, pa, pa. I have my logs, I have my trees, I have my files, I can, it's very difficult to use a projector. Here. So this thing, as was noticed, is also doubles as a bot protection, because unfortunately, you probably have realized if you try to host anything on the web in, I don't know, the last few years, the constant spam from AI scrapers and whatnot is not very nice to say. And since we're also trying to run this on very small machines with not lots of resources, it was very, very not nice, for the lack of a better adjective, to see the machine dying from AI scraping. And that And that's it. So we did the live demo. I'm about to end. Last two slides. Got up pages. It's not a thing. It's not a name. It was just the funniest thing I could think for a title. Another new feature that we introduced, and it's available from today, because Stefan did the release just a couple of hours ago, is the fact that GotWebD now is also able to serve files from branches in Git. So if you ever use, I don't know, GitHub pages, you know that you can commit all your HTML and generated pages on a certain branch, and then automatically it works. And, well, GotWebD can do more or less the same. We have more knobs that you can use. For instance, you can just serve your static content under a specific prefix, so you can have both your GotWebD and the preview of a website running on the same virtual host, for instance, and it respects the authentication. Now, I show you the authentication only with the Anon SSH, so like everyone can do that. But we have some ACL in there, so you can say this user can only see this, and that repository, and it's only allowed to read, or it's only allowed, or it's also allowed to write, and that kind of thing. Then, closing. Future work. Well, this is a wish list, basically, because it's the usual thing. You have your a lot of things you want to do, and then sometimes you manage to do them. Sometimes they just stay there until you manage to do them. So one other thing that we probably will spend some time in the future in GotWebD is to improve caching, because we have caching inside the library, inside the internal library that we use. We have a lot of caching in different places for Git objects and whatnot. But the problem is that GotWebD is always closing and reopening the repository. So every time it throws away the cache, and yeah, that's kind of a bummer. And then, well, if you've seen the the web page, we have a lot to improve in the overall UI of it. And I don't know, more nice thing like, you know, side-by-side ifs or some kind of integrations. And yeah, bit of a rush, but that was all. If you have any question, I would be very happy to answer them. Otherwise, I put some links for my account on Mastodon, the GitHub account on Mastodon, the web page of the project, the GitHub homepage, and the mailing list, in case you're interested to join and say hi. Thank you.